Welcome back, everybody, to What Would Father Say here on the Armor of God Catholic Radio Network. I appreciate everybody tuning in with us. And Father, again, thanks for your time as we get more wise from your words.
Thank you, Tom. I love being here. It gives me an outlet. Sometimes I have a radio show and I think I have like an audience of seven.
I think it's a little bit more than seven. More than way more than seven. So,
On this channel, yeah, I do. I do a radio show for what would you say, like a regular commercial station.
okay.
Anyway, and I'm just on there as a guest sometimes. Sometimes we have up to 11. No, I'm kidding. I don't know. But this now I'm on a Catholic radio, so hopefully Catholics are tuning in.
Well, folks,
Yeah.
today we
So
are
what are we
picking
talking
back
about
up.
today? What mild-mannered soft topic are we talking about here?
This is a softball.
This is
We are going to talk about, we're continuing our series on the nine contentious topics
Oh,
that
yes.
struggle our struggles in our faith. And today we're talking about divorce and remarriage, which kind of go hand in hand with last week's topic of cohabitation. So,
Yes, so shall we just
it
jump
seems to
right
be.
in?
And nowadays, where you have anywhere arguably 50, 60, 70, I've seen statistics even higher percent of marriages that end in divorce.
It's the
What exactly
numbers
does
are.
the church tell us about couples who are
Well, let's
divorced?
first, in a first marriage is not. First marriage is about 40, 45%. I think that's what they say. And in divorce, second marriage is 60 or 70%. Third marriage is 80, 90% of divorces. So it turns out to be a little bit over 50. But of those 50 who are left, how many are happy? So I don't know. But in some communities, like the African American community, I think divorce is like 75, close to 80%. You meet a 40-year-old African American black woman, there's usually a chance she's been divorced. Where if you were to go back to Alabama in 1950, the divorce rate amongst blacks was 8%, something like that. But that's a sociological thing. But why do we bring up marriage and divorce? Well, Jesus talks about it. And divorce and remarriage is something that went on in the Old Testament. I think we have to acknowledge that. And as we hear from Jesus's detractors, Moses allowed divorce for divorce. And I think it's Saint Thomas Aquinas who said that many of the men were killing their wives so they can get out of their marriage. So Moses gave a little rule about give your wife a decree of divorce. But Jesus makes a very clear statement. He says it literally in four places in the Gospels. Four times Jesus says, if you divorce your wife and marry another, you commit adultery. He says it in Mark 10, Luke 18, I think 16, 18, Matthew chapter 5, and Matthew 19. And all those places he's approached by the Pharisees, says, can a man divorce his wife for any reason whatsoever? And the first thing Jesus does, he points back to the Garden of Eden. In the beginning, God made the male and female in the beginning, and they push him. Then he raises the stakes, and it's not so much divorce is sinful. It can't be sinful. If you just divorce your wife and move on, because I don't want to be married anymore and divorce you, that's sinful. But sometimes divorce is a necessary evil. If it's an abusive relationship, especially a violent one, you may have to divorce your spouse. It's getting remarried. That's the issue. It's getting remarried because a valid marriage cannot be dissolved. Valid sacramental marriage, as Jesus says, let what God has put together, let no man put asunder. And marriage is an expectation of permanence, exclusivity, and order towards children. But Jesus is pretty straightforward. I say to you, if you divorce your wife and marry. Now in Matthew, he gives the porneia exception. You divorce your wife and marry another, except in the cases of porneia, you commit adultery. I would say the Catholic reading of that is, unchastity, that oftentimes men had multiple wives, or they had a concubine, or they married like their sisters or something. But barring all that, for a baptized people who consummated their marriage, that is indissolvable. It is indissolvable. And we're really the only ones holding the line on this. Now, we want to help people. Sometimes there is the annulment process if you want to get me remarried. But if someone is divorced and has no intention of getting remarried, we would tell them, you don't need to get an annulment. Be faithful to your vows, which said, I will never marry anybody else. You may have to live in another place, but don't go dating anybody, because you already made vows with God as a witness. Because the marriage is a covenant. It's not a contract, it's a covenant. It's an exchange of persons, which says, I will do this for you if you do this for me. A contract is an exchange of goods and services, but a covenant is an exchange of persons. It's an exchange of persons. And those vows are important in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. Wow. That's not natural. It's supernatural. That's not, what does that mean? Well, that's the glue that holds families together. That is the glue that holds societies together. And again, remember, the devil loves divorce and God hates it. Devil always seeks to divide man and woman, because then he can win. And he did it in the Garden of Eden. He went after Adam and Eve, came between them. Instead of Adam defending his wife, she gave in to temptation, he gave in right there. And it was a direct attach on their union, because even they were naked and without shame. And next thing you know, they're wearing fig leaves
Fig leaves, yeah.
to hide each other. There was a rupture. There was a rupture there. Jesus, and I think it's true. I think to save the world, you had mentioned this about cohabitation. I think if we can celebrate, promote, and impart the church's teaching on marriage, you can save the world. We can save, we can cure poverty, crime, violence, war. All those, the most hardened criminals always come from broken families, broken marriages. You go up to the prison now, guy has three or four different kids and three or four different women. And his doesn't even know whose daddy is. He was raised by his mom or his grandma with some other guy in the house who beat him up. But when a man and woman look at each other, make vows to each other, they're creating a foundation to which civilization can build. And Jesus knows when you divorce and remarry, it's a breaking of a covenant. Jesus called himself the bridegroom. And even that should give us some hint that God wants to marry us, and it's an eternal covenant, and asks us not to break. He doesn't break his own covenant, even though he has every right to, and we violate the law all through the Old Testament. Every psalm, every sin is seen as a sin of adultery. He says, "You're whoring after other gods." Isaiah says, "You're whoring after other gods. I was your husband." So
So
this
that
is one of those things that is real sad, that it's really just us holding the line. The
yep.
Orthodox Church allows two, three remarriages, or at least one. Protestant churches, they don't care.
Yeah.
You can marry five times, they'll marry someone else again. And I think the real detriment has been the Reformation. Martin Luther, as soon as the Reformation, the reformers or the revolutionaries, whatever you want to call them, as
Yeah.
soon as they reduced marriage to be not a sacrament, wow, the hell rejoiced. It watered down marriage. And where we are today, we don't even know what marriage is. Between a man and a woman, eh. Maybe, maybe not. As long as there's love, love is love. No, it's not.
Love it.
It's an attack on love. Married love, conjugal love, gives us the one chance. And those of you who are married, Tom, you know this. You're telling someone else, I will love you the most. Now, your callers or your listeners are going to say, well, what about annulment? People get annulments like
Yeah,
pancakes.
that was my next question. Yep.
Yeah. And I would say that was true for a while. I think the church, as an accommodation, has tried to help people. But most of the time, when people we try to get annulments, people are already moved on to their next marriage and are living in sin and willing to basically give up heaven so they're not lonely. But the church recognized that all marriages are valid. And we assume that they're valid unless they're investigated. And that takes some investigation. And so if you're lacking something like proper form, freedom, consent, full knowledge, we don't divorce you or no, we recognize that this is not a real marriage and that you could freely marry somebody else. Now, I will say from my experience now from doing annulments for 19 years, the church is becoming much more strict. In the old days when I was first ordained, every annulment we sent in almost, not everyone, but most of them always got a, you know, man, most of our annulments are not approved now. Most of them are not. And
I
go
think
ahead.
this is an opportunity though for to clarify exactly, you know, what the church teaches and what the church's means by an annulment. It's not just
Yeah.
Catholic divorce,
It's not
you
Catholic,
know.
and it doesn't dissolve anything. So what an annulment is a snapshot of someone's wedding day. And we have to investigate. Did you, we'll have people who are married civilly, but never actually had any wedding ceremony. They just kind of lived together and shacked up, and there was no actual ceremony. But each wedding day has to be investigated. Did you get married in a church? Did you make vows in another church? Were you young and pregnant and felt pressured? Oftentimes, if someone feels coerced and is against their will, well, that's not a real marriage. It has to be free, total, faithful, fruitful, and free. And if you have no consent, the church recognizes that not a real marriage took place. And the only way we decide that is we put it on trial. Now, people understand when they get married and they want to get a divorce, they have to go through the courts and they have to apply for a marriage. I mean, the government regulates marriage. Why? Why? Because of children. They recognize that the state is involved, and it's not just a contract, it's a covenant, and marriage has privilege. It has privilege. It's a privileged state. So the state is involved. Before 1968, you had to prove the three A's: abuse, abandonment, adultery. But 1968, California started the no-fault divorce, where whoever wanted out of a marriage could the state government would side with them. In the past, before 1968, if someone wanted to, had a girlfriend and wanted to divorce their wife, the state wouldn't let them. It sided with the woman or the spouse that wants to stay in. Well, now government has turned on us, and if someone wants a divorce, all they have to do is no fault, and the government will side with them and dissolve. And I've seen those divorce pages. I think you have too, which says the government dissolves this marriage. Well, we believe that a sacramental marriage that has been consummated is indissolvable. And I think that's part of the good news. It gives somebody a chance to love someone the most, to have someone love you the most. You deserve. And to say to someone to be like Christ, I give you all of me. I give you all of me and have God bless it. So divorce and remarriage is not safe. And I think, again, it was the Protestant Reformation that, especially Henry VIII, with all his marriages and divorces, whole denominations have been launched from somebody who wants a divorce and remarriage.
The risk of the risk of offending our Protestant brothers and sisters, you know, the King James version of the Bible that you know was written to take a lot of this kind of contentious stuff out. You know, it took out some of this stuff about and allowed for
Yeah. Well, I
yeah,
mean,
a divorce and
if some of
remarriage.
those Bibles will say in Matthew 19 and Matthew, I'm sorry, Matthew 5, if a divorced wife marry another, but in the case of a adultery, they'll have
Edited.
what? apart from
That's
her
what Jesus meant
unfaithfulness.
to say. Yeah, that's what
Yeah, that's what
Jesus
he was
meant to
saying.
say.
But also tell your listeners 1 Corinthians 7. Read it, pray with it. It talks about marriage and divorce. It talks about, and it sets the standard high. It says if a man and his wife are separated, they should reconcile, which is natural. Okay. But it even says if they cannot reconcile, they should live as single people. What? If they cannot reconcile, sometimes you have to separate, but you shouldn't be dating because you've already made a vow and you brought God, sacred vows. When you tell God, I love this person for as long as I both shall live, and you go back on that vow, it invites curses. But if you're faithful to that vow, some of the most faithful things I ever see when it comes to marriage is in nursing homes. You see people who have Alzheimer's, don't know who their spouse is. A spouse will come there every day, clean them, feed them, wash them, tend to them, and they don't know who they are. Jason Everett tells us this beautiful story about a woman who has complete Alzheimer's and dementia, doesn't know who anybody is, doesn't know who her husband is. The husband comes every day and feeds her, does her laundry, makes sure she gets her medication, and that every day she says the same thing to him. Sir, I don't know who you are, but I think you're the best. Man, he gets it. He gets it. And you hear about when one of the orderlies will ask him, "What are you doing there? She doesn't know who you are." And he responds, "But I know who she is.
It's my wife, yeah.
I know who she is." That's when the vows kick in. When do vows kick in? I was reading today, the gospel today was about setting your house on solid rock. And the floods came, and the rains came, and the winds came. It's on solid rock, and it stood. But anything built on stubble or straw or sand will collapse. So, to all your listeners out there, maybe even married listeners who have had a crisis in their marriage, you find out where you're at when the storm comes. You've had an attack on your marriage. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it is adultery. Maybe it's alcohol or something like that. There's been an attack on your marriage. That's when you find out how strong your foundation is. That's when the graces of the sacrament can kick in. But also know that, the church is here, we have community, and that all these things can be worked through.
And I
Yeah,
think
that's the
it's
benefit of a
evident.
Christian.
I think it's evident, the church's idea that marriage is a vocation, just by the words that are in the marriage vows themselves. It doesn't say, hey, every day is going to be rainbows and sunshine, and we're going
Rainbows and
to,
ponies.
I mean, it says sickness and health, so
Yeah, what does
there
that
is going to
mean?
be. There's going to be suffering in any kind of relationship, but especially in a relationship that is being, as you said, attacked by the devil at n every from every quarter.
And I mean, not just that, but when it is attacked, it's a chance for growth. When couples go through trials, they find out, wow, we need to get back in our car and tune it up and get better at communicating, seek help. So, well, they'll say, like, well, if they've experienced adultery and they've gone through counseling and reconciliation and healing, marriage is 10 times before better before the adultery, before the injury. So God allows that to go then. So we carry our cross. We run the race. We keep the faith. And knowing what I just buried a man who'd been married, married a woman, and her husband was, front row center at the funeral. Married for 64 years. 64 years. And what a testimony that is, especially to the younger kids, the younger boys. That marriage is, supposed to be forever, and that when divorce and remarriage comes, you're putting your whole world at risk. Yeah. And you're reducing. It's amazing how some people would give up eternity so not to be lonely. I'll give up.
So what
Now, I
is
will say this too. Go ahead.
go ahead. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
That men these days, men in their 20s and 30s are backing off from looking for spouses. If they've been burned, it's as if men are trading or taking on loneliness in exchange for peace. They'll rather be lonely than not at peace. Not to blame the ladies, but they call it MGTOW, men going their own way. I just saw again that I think it wasn't maybe in Austin or San Antonio. They had a couples event, invite all, not couples, my bad, singles event. They had a singles event where all the ladies and the men were supposed to get dressed up, go down to some fancy restaurant, and they're hosting 30 somethings who are single, and no men showed up.
Oh my gosh.
And if it was maybe one guy who's a little computer nerd, and all these women are dressed to the nines, knocked down, gorgeous makeup, jewelry. They're just talking to each other, and there's no men there. Who would ever thought that that day would come when men would back off because they're tired of being emasculated,
Being told they're not
yeah, all
good
they have to do is
enough.
watch Judge Judy for a while. I'm sorry.
Not being told they're not good enough.
And
So,
so
Father,
yeah.
what how do we reconcile, how does the church reconcile, this is kind of a broad statement I recognize, but marriages, quote, outside the church. What does the church, what does the Catholic Church tell us about those people that are quote unquote married
Well,
outside
they
the
lack
church?
the grace of the sacrament. Yeah. If someone is Catholic and Mother Church expects them to abide by her precepts that marriage is a sacred thing. Just like when a married couple gets married, the wife expects her husband to be loyal. And if he steps out into another relationship, well, he's just broken that covenant and abused that covenant. So I think the church and our ministers, especially us priests and deacons, need to accompany, as Pope Francis said, accompany people to get right with the church. Accompany them. They may need some annulments, and they may need to break up for a while. They sure as heck need formation. Or they need to learn about NFP. They need to heal the wounds that they saw growing up. Because of children of divorcees, oh my gosh, it just skyrockets. Divorce is like alcoholism. It runs in families. It does run in families. That's all you know. That's all you know.
That's your frame of reference, yeah.
And if we could strengthen families, we can change the world. I keep telling my deacon Tim Dayheim and his wife Sandy, they're in charge of all the marriage prep. I said, you guys are changing the world. When you strengthen couples, you strengthen their kids. And then their kids will embrace what it means to be married and chastity and open to children. Yeah, I saw this firsthand when I was living in New York, and all the apartments, kind of a rough part of town. No men, all women with grandmas living there with four kids, screaming, and then they become teenagers and they're violent. No dad was in their life because they had nobody made vows to their mother. So the best thing men can do is love people's mothers. Love the best thing you do for your kids is love their mother. Take care of her, build her up, cleanse her. Woo her, make sure she's feeling loved and desired, and then that strengthens and gives confidence to the kids. Yeah, Bob Schutz, and Bob Stoops the coach. Bob Schutz, he started the Jean Paul II Healing Center, and he always tells the story of his mom and his dad walking out of their house to be with another woman, and he didn't have the nomenclature, the articulation to say. All he wanted to do was say, "Dad, please don't go. Dad, please don't go." Watching Dad walk out and go with be some other woman destroyed them, destroyed the boys. Now he had to play the father and protect his mother. His mother had her own way of, absorbing that blow of adultery, of divorce. Yeah, the victims are sometimes just the shadows on the back of the wall and the victims are real. So I think that's what's wrong with our country a long time, especially when it comes to things like gay marriage,
Oh, God.
vitro fertilization,
Yeah.
meeting the needs of adults. Amen. Kids would be fine. You know, my godmother, rest her soul, my godfather left her with five kids. Left her with five kids and moved in with a secretary. And so the constant wound was always hurtful. Yeah.
And they're
And he got
generational.
remarried. Now he's dead. So
They're generational. That impact is generational,
it
more
sure is.
often than not.
Yeah.
Well, Father,
All right, brother.
we're gonna run out of time for today's episode. And folks, again, we'll pick this back up next week with homosexuality. That's the
Yeah,
next of
might as well just get out all
our
the
contentious
contentious
topic.
issues, my brother.
And I know this is going to ruffle feathers, but that's okay. If you missed some or part of today's episode, of course, you can always pick it back up on Sunday afternoon at the same time, 12:30, and then the following week it'll be available on our website under the schedule tab. So, Father, would you leave us with your
Yeah,
blessing, please?
let's invoke the Blessed Trinity as we say, our glory be to the Father, the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. And the Lord be with you.
And
May
with your
Almighty God
spirit.
bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thanks, Father. And folks, thanks for tuning in. And remember to put on the armor of God.